How can I protect my money from a stock market crash? I'll explain next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people, and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Folks, you may be aware I have a YouTube channel, and when you subscribe, it's free, where I post an in-depth answer to a specific financial question almost daily. And these are questions that have been asked hundreds of times for the last several months. And recently, the question that has been posed is, how can I protect my money from a stock market crash? Because it's not a matter of if, it's when. I've often described the stock market like a person with a yo-yo, hopefully walking up some stairs. Well, there are periods of times where that person with a yo-yo, so to speak, is walking across a flat surface, like the year 2000, ending 2010, 2012. That person with a yo-yo was walking across a flat surface, meaning the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, the Russell 2000. 12 years later was back where it was 12 years earlier. People sort of lost a decade of growth because they lost 40% twice in that period, and they were barely back to break even. Now, one of my favorite strategies, indexing, people doubled and some even tripled their money during that same time period when most Americans who had their money exposed to the market were barely back to break even. So let me teach you here how to get gains in up markets, but not lose in down markets. I began in the financial services industry in 1974. That's back when my watch was a sundial, okay? So a lot of times people go, wow, you've been around the block for a long time. Yep, I've been helping people optimize assets and minimize taxes for more than 46 years. And back in 1974, I not only got my insurance license, but I got my Series 1 securities license. They don't even offer that anymore. Now you have to have several, like a Series 6, Series 7, Series 24, and 63, and all these. Series 1 allowed me to sell anything, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, anything that I wanted to. Now, from 1974 until 1980, I ended up being responsible for over 3,000 clients in 13 Western states. And I often felt like playing red light, green light. If you've ever played red light, green light, you know, sometimes you proceed, you know, 10, 15, 20 steps forward, then you have to go backwards. And that's what people experienced. They were making sometimes 20% gains, and then they would lose 10, 15%, and back and forth, back and forth. Well, back then, we were trying to achieve an average 12% increase, or 12 steps forward. But see, it was E.F. Hutton, who was one of the big brokerage firms in America back then, that said, well, even if you could earn 12%, people aren't netting 12% after taxes and fees. And that's why they were the brainchild behind one of my favorite vehicles, a max-funded indexed universal life insurance contract, because they were the brainchild behind those, because they went, hey, we can safely earn 11%. In fact, I never earned less than 11% in my universal life insurance contracts from 1980 until 1990. I earned as high as 15.5%. But I could earn 11 and net 10, tax-free, okay? What was the 1%? It wasn't taxes. It was the cost of the insurance that the IRS said had to be there in order for it to be tax-free. And so E.F. Hutton had this idea. Why don't we just safely earn 11 and not have money exposed in the market, and we net 10%. And so people back then, they could put in $500,000, and I had many clients who did that, and $500,000 immediately started generating $50,000 a year of tax-free cash flow or income. It was amazing. And so there was this massive exodus of money that left the brokerage firms and the market because these were safer. They paid higher interest and they were tax-free and so forth. And so this is where instead of trying to earn 12% by having your money exposed to market volatility, and then you pull out your money and you have to pay tax on it. Let's say you had $1 million nest egg in traditional IRAs and 401ks in the market. And if you were earning 12%, which, by the way, most people are not, Dalbar says most people who have their money in the market that are retired only earn 3.49% on the average. 3.5%. And this is what precipitated the 4% rule in the financial services industry, where most brokerage firms do not want their advisors to illustrate any more than a 4% payout. Now, that's pretty pathetic, right? $1 million would only generate $40,000 a year of retirement income. But see, that's not all your money. You owe a portion of that to the government. So if you pull out $40,000, you have to pay tax even in a 25% tax bracket. You pay tax of $10,000. You're only netting 3% instead of 4%, which is $30,000 a year. Now, a lot of asset managers charge at least a 1% asset management fee on a million-dollar account. That's $10,000. So if you subtracted taxes and fees, you're only netting 2%, or $20,000 out of the $40,000 to buy gas and groceries and prescriptions and golf green fees. That's pretty pathetic. And so I would like to earn more like 6% or 8% or 10%. See, an 8% payout means that on $1 million nest egg, you can generate $80,000 a year, but the income is tax-free. And that's if you use the max-funded indexed insurance contracts that E.F. Hutton came up with the idea back then. You're taking the least amount of insurance the IRS will let you get away with, and you're putting in the most money they allow as fast as they allow. And ever since June 21st, 1988, the fastest that you could put in the money, let's say you wanted to reposition $500,000 before you retire so that that $500,000 could generate, you know, $40,000 a year of tax-free cash flow. That's an 8% payout. You had to spread that out over 5 years under the Technical and Miscellaneous Revenue Act of 1988. That's been that way under Section 7702 of the Internal Revenue Code ever since 1988. Now, folks, it's incredible when you do this, you jump through those hoops because $500,000 can generate an 8% payout. But do you know what happened in the final hours of the year 2020? Congress passed all that big bill, but it is changing Section 7702. Now, I don't know all the details, except the insurance contracts will allow you to put in more money faster. In other words, instead of spreading out $500,000 over 5 years, $100,000 a year before you can start taking tax-free income forever after, you could get that $500,000 in maybe in two and a half years or 2 years in one day. You might be able to put in as much as $200,000 a year and get your account filled or repositioned in as little as 2 years and one day. When you can get your money going to work for you faster, then it will perform better. Your internal rate of return, I often quote, if you earned 11, you'll net 10. If you earn 8, you'll net 7. If you earn 6, you'll net 5. You can reach that goal now sooner, meaning that you will be able to start taking tax-free income maybe in as little as 2.5, 3 years, 2 years in one day. This is incredible. I'll keep you apprised of this because I've always liked to be on the cutting edge of the latest and greatest. But folks, this is my favorite vehicle. It was the brainchild of E.F. Hutton, because what you do is you put your money over into the insurance contract and you protect yourself from market volatility because your money is not in the market. Now, the returns that the insurance company is paying you can be linked to whatever the market does without having your money at risk in the market. This is called indexing. And if you stay with me to the next segment, I'm going to talk about the difference between indexed funds and indexing. See, an index fund is just a commodity. It's just a mutual fund that invests your money in the S&P 500, stocks and so forth. Whereas indexing, your money is not invested in the stock market. The return the insurance company is crediting you every year simply is linked to whatever the market does based upon the index or indices you choose. This is absolutely incredible because your money is not at risk in the market. You will not ever lose a dime due to market volatility because your money's not in the market. The insurance company is paying you based upon measurements, what's happening in the economy and the market, but your money is not in the market. It's safely tucked in the insurance company.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
So, how can I make money in the market with the lowest risk? I'll explain next. This is Doug Andrew. Welcome back to Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you're just joining us, in the previous segment, I was talking about how you can protect yourself from a stock market crash. Now, a crash is inevitable, okay? They're going to happen, and they usually happen about every 7 years. Sometimes we go 10 years without a crash. Sometimes they happen in 3 or 4 years. But see, when they happen, I want to empower you so that you will not lose. You can sleep at night. And so Dalbar, who studies investor behavior, says that if people would just buy and hold, okay? That's what Warren Buffett says, buy and hold. Now, if you did that, the average person who has money invested in the stock market would probably earn about a 9.14% average rate of return based upon any 20-year period since the Great Depression. And so if you earned 9% after tax on a IRA or 401k, you might net 6% because most people between federal and state tax shell out about a third in tax on their IRAs and 401ks when they start taking income. So what I mean is, let's say you had $1 million nest egg, and if you were earning 9%, you should be able to pull out $90,000 a year without depleting principal. If you pulled out $90,000, that's not all your money. See, the government has a permanent tax lien on that. So you pull out $90,000, you pay $30,000, a third of that in tax, and you net $60,000 to buy gas and groceries. Unfortunately, a lot of asset managers charge 1% asset management fees on a $1 million nest egg, so that's another $10,000. So if you pull out $90,000 and you subtract taxes and fees, you're only netting about $50,000. Now, if you can get by on $50,000, good luck, because in about 7 to 10 years with inflation, you're going to need to have $100,000 to buy the same gallons of gas and loaves of bread that $50,000 bought 7 to 10 years earlier. So taxes and inflation is what causes a lot of people to outlive their money. But the third thing that causes people's nest eggs to erode away is market volatility. Because Dalbar said, in actuality, people do not buy and hold. They let their emotions get involved, okay? And so they panic. It's been proven when the market starts to take a dive, okay, down 20 and 30%, they freak out. This happened in March of the year 2020 because of the coronavirus pandemic, and people panicked. And when they see their nest egg going down 30%, they go, sell! And so they finally, enough already, and they get their money out of the market and put it over in a bank earning 1% or less. And so when it gets to that 30 and 40% loss, they freak out and they sell low. Then what? They keep it in the bank and they wait and wait until the market rebounds and has a really good, strong recovery. And then they buy high. And so Dalbar says the actual rate of return, investor rate of return, because the charts they show you, oh, yeah, you'll average 9%. No, no, no. The actual rate of return for retirees is 3.49% because people are buying and selling at the wrong times. So this is what precipitated the 4% rule in the financial services industry, because the reality is most retirees are only averaging about 3.5%. And so the financial services industry says, you know what, we don't want to be sued for retirees outliving their money. So they basically tell their advisors, don't you dare illustrate a payout of any more than 4% unless that retiree signs a hold harmless, that they won't sue us for outliving their money. And so that's called the 4% rule, which if you can't tell, it's pretty pathetic, because if you have $1 million nest egg and you're only generating $40,000 a year of income and you're only netting $30,000 after tax, $20,000 after taxes and fees, that is a measly 2%. That is ridiculous. I can show you how to get an 8% payout. But even if you only got a 6% payout, how much better is 6% tax-free than 2% after taxes and fees? How much more is 6 than 2? Don't say 4. It's 300% more. On $1 million nest egg, $60,000 is 3 times as much money as $20,000. But do you know that many laser funds, my favorite vehicle I call the laser fund, and many times retirees for decades have experienced payouts of 8% up to 10%. 8% would be $80,000 a year of tax-free income. Many people have experienced 10% payouts. That's $100,000. How much more is $100,000 than $20,000? Folks, it's 500% more. Would you like to have 5 times the retirement income? This is extremely critical to understand. See, Wall Street will be the first to admit if you ask, when is the best time to sell and take money out of the market? And they will say, never. Never. Wall Street was not built to create predictable cash flow or income streams. They tell you to leave it there forever to have it grow. That's why I usually tell people at least 5 years before you plan on retiring, you need to do an assessment, because too many people that I've met are way too top heavy with money in yet to be taxed IRAs and 401ks invested in the market. And so it would behoove you to do a strategic rollout. I've helped so many people who came to me and they said, well, we've done really well. Now, they were savers. And so they may have $2 or $3 million accumulated in their IRAs and 401ks. And they go, you know what? We calculate we should be able to enjoy about $200,000 a year of retirement income. And I look at it and I go, well, that's pretty good, except there's one problem. What's that, Mr. Andrew? And I go, well, it's all showing up on the front page of your 1040 tax return. And they go, what? You mean there's another way? And I go, yeah. Well, they say, well, where have you been? I said, I've been here all along. You had your blinders on following the herd, putting your money in tax-deferred IRAs of 401ks. And so I have to then show them a strategy to strategically get the money out. Now, I've done this many, many times. The particular couple I'm thinking about here, after 5 years, we were able to get $120,000 of that $200,000 off of their tax return. We actually increased their income to $240,000 because we increased their rate of return. But on the $200,000, they still have that income, but now they only have to pay tax on $80,000 of the $200,000. The other $120,000, the IRS knows they're getting that, but they know it's tax-free. It's been that way for over 107 years as a sacred cow in the Internal Revenue Code, okay? This isn't some tax loophole. Folks, we can do this perhaps for you, but you need to get educated and see if any of these strategies may be applicable in your particular set of circumstances. I don't want you kicking yourself because you have this tax trap. You need to liberate yourself from having too much money in IRAs or 401ks. I would recommend that no more than 30% tops of your retirement nest egg should be in yet-to-be-taxed IRAs or 401ks in the market at retirement. See, at retirement planning is something totally different than maybe what you did for retirement planning. I would recommend that 40 to 60% of your retirement cash flow or income be totally tax-free, where it's not deemed earned passive or portfolio income. Why? Because those are the only three types of income Americans pay income tax on their 1040 tax return. If you have income that's not one of those three types of income, there's nowhere on a tax return to put it. You're not hiding anything. It's just, it's tax-free. It's that cut and dry.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.